Heart to bring to us tonight. With that said, I'll allow you to do what you need to do. Bring your friends. Yep. Amen.
I thought we worked on your English.
You did, I didn't.
Oh, that's how that goes. Okay.
What's the matter?
You're really getting serious, aren't you?
Well, I try to be serious, Nancy. We only have a short amount of time, and...
If you can't read it, it don't matter.
Oh, but it does matter. You see that big clock? Nancy, do you...
If you don't see it, it don't matter.
Yeah, it does matter. Okay. Well, you know, we had you out earlier today.
Oh, yeah. I said, hello.
You did?
Hello.
Nancy.
Hello.
Okay, stop. Now, why do you keep looking at my tablet up here?
Because I'm going to color in it.
No, you can't color in my tablet.
I guess and I can.
I'm guessing you won't.
You know something?
What?
You have to sleep.
Yeah, I know I have to sleep.
I never do.
You better leave my tablet alone.
Too late.
It's too late?
Yeah, too late. You know, T-O-L-A-T-E, too latey.
You mean you already been in my tablet?
Uh-huh. Last week, the good book. This week, the tablet. Next week,
there better not be a next week. What did you write in there?
Just two quick things.
Two quick things?
Uh-huh. Uno.
You mean number one?
Uh-huh. Uno.
We don't speak Spanish.
You don't.
I know. So what did you write in my tablet? Nancy, we're running out of time.
Tick, 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 tick.
Hey.
Uh-huh.
What did you write in my tablet?
I heard a fundraiser.
You wrote the word fundraiser?
Uh-huh. So everybody gets to die on.
Oh. You think the pastor is selling razors?
Uh-huh. And they're fundraisers.
Well, the problem is it's not F-U-N and razor like I shave with.
You need one.
Oh.
Can you, $20? $30?
Stop. You give away all my love offering.
It's not nowhere in line. I don't need to eat. I don't need to sleep.
And you think pastor's selling fundraisers?
Uh-huh. So who'll get a dollar? Who'll get two?
Stop. It has a D in it. It's a fundraiser. It's where they raise money.
I know. So you can shave.
Nancy, it's not so you can shave. It's for them to go on vacation.
Dictionary time.
I know what a vacation is.
How come you never do it? I'll ask Mom. She says you don't.
Well, we had to do some fundraising, too.
Then buy a razor.
Stop, Nancy. It's not anything about a razor. Okay, stop. We're done with the razor thing. What else did you write in that tablet?
Oh, yeah, that. I heard it. It was just outside that window over there.
What was just outside that window over there?
Oh, it was gigantamus.
We... Can you just say big?
I did.
Well, what was it?
Scary.
You scared again?
Uh-huh.
Was you reading in the big book?
Well, I know it's in there somewhere.
Well, what is it? We're running out of time. Hurry, tell me, please.
Tick, tick, tick.
Stop.
You're getting ticked off.
So what did you write in there?
I drew.
You drew in my tablet? It wasn't on my sermon note.
No worry. I could do that too.
No, you can't do that too. What did you put in there?
I drew a picture. A picture of what I was hearing. It has a good verse with it.
There's a verse with it too?
Uh-huh. I know how you write sermons, so I try to do a good job.
You're trying to write my sermons?
Yeah.
Well,
who wrote that?
Probably a computer.
Okay.
Can we get back on the subject, please?
Tick, tick.
Not that subject, the other subject. What is in the tablet?
A train.
You drew a picture of a train in my tablet?
Oh, yeah. Toot, toot. I heard it last night. I heard it a minute ago.
What did it do? It said, toot, toot, toot. Nancy, toot, toot. Stop. What does that have to do with the Bible?
I read. It said, train a child.
Okay, stop. That's it. We're done.
Well, it does say that.
It does say, train up a child.
So everybody gets a train.
No. No, we're not giving everybody a train.
You got enough.
Well, I probably do have enough trains everybody could have a train, but we're not going to give away my trains.
You're not using them.
What do you mean I'm not using them?
You're here, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm right here.
If you're not there, where they are, you're not using them.
But Nancy, that's my hobby.
I'll give it all, give it all, give it all to Jesus.
Wait. You're going to give away my trains?
Oh, no.
Oh, thank you.
I'm just going to sell them. Hey, they're not getting a dollar, getting a dollar.
Stop. We can't sell the trains. And it has nothing to do with train up a child either.
Oh, yeah. I read it. T-R-A-I-N. Right?
Yeah.
That's how you do that local notice too, right? Huh? Same word?
Look, we're going to have to go back to Sunday school with you because you keep coming up with interesting things.
Can you go to Sunday school right now?
No, you can't go to Sunday school right now.
Swimming!
No, that's not a swimming pool.
I want to go swimming. Dad, can I go swimming?
No, you cannot go swimming.
I really sure would. Hello. Yeah. I'm going to go sit.
You stay there.
Yes, sir.
Don't move.
Can't. Tells me to do the impossible.
We have a lot of fun. And I believe that's all right. Of course, you and I both know that trains and locomotives have nothing to do with training children. I'm still working on that one, I think. I don't know. Well, I promised I'd play the banjo tonight. So now that my hands are nice and slippery, we'll plunk a tune. Joel, have a good day. Amen. Isn't it just wonderful? I mean, I'm concerned that we have such a wonderful advantage as Americans to come to God's house and we just kind of do it when we want to or take for granted the fact that the church doors will be unlocked, you know?
Well, praise the Lord. You never know what you're going to see in church, right? I mean, you ever had anybody play banjo for you before, preacher? First one. Probably the last, but at least, you know. When we get to heaven in the sweet by and by one of these days, I jokingly have told many people, I'm going to quit singing for a little bit. I'm going to let somebody else play the piano. And I'd love to hear John the Baptist preach a little bit. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I, in my mind, I kind of wonder, preacher, if there's a preaching corner we can go over and hear the book. That's the only perfect thing we have that is up in heaven right now, right? Amen? I mean, Jesus Christ is up there, you know, but he is the book. Oh, well, I couldn't wait to hear him explain. Whew. Well, anyway. Decided that God asked me to give him everything, and I looked around. I didn't have much. Since he owns everything anyway, I didn't figure I gave him much. But if you haven't given him everything you got, you probably don't know what I'm talking about. See, you can be saved and go to heaven when you die and still not be totally surrendered to everything God wants for you. Because now we're talking about service, not about salvation. And once I drifted out in sin, had no hope, no joy within, and my soul was burdened down with pride. Then the Savior came along and he showed and he placed me on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. Out in sin no more will I abide. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. Praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. Well, I shall never have a fear, for the Lord is ever near, and him so often I can find. Well, he's the keeper of my soul, and I've given full control, and I'm placed there on the out in sin, no more can I abide. And I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. And praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side. I've enlisted in the fight for the cause of truth and right. And praise the Lord, I'm on the winning side.
Hallelujah.
We get to heaven, we can sing for however long. Then we can praise the Lord some more. If you think church is boring, I would advise you don't go to heaven. You can't lose your salvation, so it's too late. If you're born again, you done got your ticket, and you're going to go to heaven, so you might as well get used to a little church down here. Amen. So you shouldn't say that. Well, I used to say there's enough churches in this country. I just preach once everywhere, and I'd be done. I don't know. I'm kidding. Yes, okay. Anybody knows me knows that. Well, there's one thing I don't joke around about. That's God's word. If it wasn't for the blessed word of God, we'd all be in more trouble than we know what to do with. Say, well, you seem to have an awful lot of fun. Yeah, but I'm just serving the Lord. I'm just out doing what God called me to do, and I ought to get to enjoy what He called me to do. I don't enjoy the flat tires, the gas prices, and a number of other things, but by the way, thank you, church, for the love offering. I have no idea what it is. I get questions all the time. Well, how much is this and how much is that? And I said, preacher, if you pray about what you want God to give us and then you do exactly what God told you to do, it'll be enough. Because it's true. If you're obeying God and God, you know, God will take care of me by you obeying God. So I said, well, you know, God's will is going to be done with or without God's people. I said, you better read the book of Exodus again. Huh? Well, you know, that might be God's will and might not have been God's will for you to do this or that. And just because the people didn't want it doesn't mean that, you know, maybe God didn't want it. Well, then why in the world did they spend 40 years wandering around the wilderness? That wasn't God's will. We know God's will was for them to be in the promised land. By the way, had they been where God wanted them to be, would have Moses got to enjoy the promised land? Just a thought. Has nothing to do with what we're preaching, though, so we'll just close that and go right to the book of John, if you would, please. John in chapter 9. I know we were in John chapter 1, but I love the book of John, don't you? I just love the Bible. A preacher ought to be able to take anywhere in this book, flip it open, and preach it. But since I'm in that group of preachers, I won't push that too hard. 9:25. You want to stand and stretch for just a minute and honor God's word? I don't know if you all do that or not. If you can't, I totally understand. There's days I can, and then there's days I cannot. But if you found John chapter 9 and verse 25, you found the right book. But back up with me in chapter 9 and verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. He said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Dear Lord, I thank you for this church. I thank you for the doors which knocked this afternoon. Lord, it was a joy to see the excitement of the children as they ran from door to door. And Lord, I pray that that excitement would grow in the hearts of us adults. Lord, that we would once again realize that we were the ones lost at one time, that someone cared about our souls. Lord, help me preach your word. And may every word that I say be exactly what you want. Lord, I love these folks, and you love them much more than I ever could, much more than their pastor could. And help me to feed them with the blessed old book, in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. So here's a story, and I would go home sometime this evening and just put a bookmark right here and go home and read. Read the chapter before, read the chapter after, get you some context of what we're talking about tonight. Because there's a man in this story who we don't get the name. He was a blind man. And Jesus spat on the ground, and he made clay of that spittle. And then he anointed the man and told him to go wash. Well, I got to thinking about that just a little bit. Nobody has ever spit in my eye and I enjoyed it. I mean, could you imagine there's this blind man, Jesus comes by and he spits on the ground, he makes a little mud, and he says, here, let me put this in your eye. Blind or not, I know what just happened. Right? Huh? I mean, you know, he was willing for God to take care of a physical issue. Now, he didn't understand. He didn't know that when God anointed his eyes, said, hey, go wash in the pool of Siloam, that he washed and he came seeing. He was obedient. But sometimes I feel like God takes care of my issues and takes care of my problems in life in ways that I'm not sure I'd agree with him. And I wouldn't know that it would work had I not obeyed him. Here's a blind man, folks. He can't see. And Jesus spit on the ground and he made clay and he anointed the eyes of the man that was born blind. He'd never seen. He was born blind. Now, if I'd been that blind man, I think I'd have said, hold on a minute. Can we talk about this? You know how many germs is in that mud down there? The molecule, all these different things that we can't see without a microscope, you're mixing that all in that dirt down there, and you want to put that in my eye. Well, what if it gives me some sort of eye infection? I mean, you know, like modern-day Christians we are. If I do this for God, that might happen, and boy, what's so-and-so going to think? And why don't you just let God be God? Why don't you just let God take care of you like he wants to take care of you? Why don't you just give it all to Jesus? Amen? Why can't we be as obedient as some blind man? Say, well, that conversation didn't happen. No, I don't see any debate. I see obedience. Why do I have to look in my own life and I see more debate than I do obedience? Well, you know, you Christians and your blind faith. Well, call it what you will, but if you haven't tried it, don't knock it. Amen. I'm not saying try salvation because you can't. I'm just saying if you don't know God, then you don't know what he can do. And you don't know how good he is to you because he's not your God. You don't know what kind of Savior he is because he's not your Savior. And I feel like a little kid walking around at some sort of a school where my daddy's better than your daddy. And since you don't know my daddy, you keep your big mouth shut. You ever felt like that? You know? By the way, that's not aimed at anybody here. That might be aimed just a little bit at the lost world out there making fun of my God. But they don't know God. So, you know what? I have to be careful that I make sure and maintain a testimony that allows them to see God through me, because that's all they're going to see. They're not going to go crack open a book without the Holy Spirit getting in the conviction. Without, you know, you might be the only Bible somebody might ever read. Now back to our story. He washes and he comes seeing. Isn't that, I mean, we're talking about miracles, amen? And he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. And he went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which were before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. No more debate, gentlemen. I'm the one that sat there. I'm the one that was blind. I've never seen before. I see now. Do you ever feel like that after you got saved? Man, you know, that almost looked like so-and-so that used to use language, and he used to go to the tavern all the time, and he used to do this all the time, and he used to do that all the time. I have a question for you. Did you pipe up and say, yeah, that was me, but it's not me anymore? Or did you just like, Say, well, that's not Bible. Well, it's definitely Bible when they did it to Peter, and Peter said, I don't know the man. You talk like one of his disciples. You're a Galilean. Your speech is betraying you. You've got to be, nope, not me. Or do you say, yeah, I was that blind man. I was that man, and I'm not him anymore. Amen. See, if you're not that blind man anymore, then there ought to be a difference. I know this is a physical story. I understand that. This is a physically blind man that God gave his sight back to. Something else I don't want you to miss. I didn't realize this was going to be what they call go get them Sunday. I don't know, you know.
Amen.
I don't know. That's what it seemed like to me was go get them Sunday. I don't know. You can change it. Amen. I don't know. You know, people get all bent out of shape. Well, you can't call it soul winning because you're not winning souls. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Good. Quit complaining and come with me. I don't care what you call it. But this man, God took care of his physical issue. Well, it got some attention to some of the high-ranking officials, you know. They bring him in, said, verse 11, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Well, he didn't leave out any detail, did he? Then said they unto him, where is he? Talking about Jesus. He said, I know not. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Uh-oh. Then again the Pharisees also asked him. I think they did more work to put Jesus out of business on the Sabbath than he ever did on the Sabbath taking care of things, but you know. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Well, the Lord's not the author of division, right? They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. You know, this story just keeps dragging on. How'd you get to be unblind if you were supposedly blind? Well, Jesus did. Well, they asked him again. And again. Doesn't change the fact Jesus did what he did. Amen. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. Now the Bible said the reason they did that's because they got together and said, anybody that said Jesus was something other than, they were going to throw him out of the synagogue. That's what it says. Now, I don't know about you. These words spake his parents in verse 22 because they feared the Jews. What they ought to be doing is fearing Jesus. But they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. We have no idea who did it. We know nothing. We don't want to know anything. We're not answering any questions. He's old enough, you ask him all the questions. We pick religion. That's what they did. Now, look at verse 25. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner. They bring him back in again. Then again called they the man in verse 24 that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. One thing I know. I don't know much about the man that put his hand in the mud for me. But I tell you one thing I know. He took care of my eyes. I washed, I obeyed, and I see. One thing I know, Christian. I was blind. I was lost. I was spiritually blind. Is it 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that talks about if the gospel be hid, it be hid to those that are lost? And that the God of this world hath blinded their eyes, not blinded their eyes, but blinded their minds. Do you remember when you were blind? I tell you what, here's the first thing I want you to see, and we'll get through this very quickly. Number one, Jesus took care of this man's physical problem. I decided if I'm going to pattern my ministry after that Jesus did, it'd probably be good to kind of see if I could take care of some physical problems sometimes. Whether it's buying a glass of water, buying a cheeseburger, helping fix a flat tire, something. You know, God didn't make me a millionaire, but he gave me 2 feet and 2 hands and a brain. The hands work good, the feet work good, the brain's working on it. But they kept asking him and kept asking him and kept asking him. What did he to thee, verse 26? Well, haven't we had this repetitive question this whole chapter? He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciple? Then they reviled him. Now they're getting mad. And said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. Well, Jesus told them something about if you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Remember? We know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that is born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Well, that's where they left him. That's what religion gets you. Chewed up and spit out. That's the way the world works. That's what worked here. Tell us again. Tell us again. Tell us again. Wait, okay, I've told you enough. You didn't hear it the first, second, and third time. What makes you think you're going to change your mind now? Oh, by the way, would you be his disciple? Well, I've tried and tried and tried to witness to you. Are you really going to accept Christ or not? Legitimate question. Going to change your mind after the fourth time I've told you the story? No. Second point's right here. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That's the blind man. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? I tell you something, friend. I always ask myself questions that aren't really answered in the Bible. How did Jesus know they cast him out? Somebody tell him? I don't know. He's God. He knows everything anyway. I just kind of figure he knew.
The Bible says he knew. That's good enough for me. He knew. Amen? Taking God at his word. And when he knew that they had cast him out, he didn't say, well, that poor fella, least he can get himself a job, work his way the rest of his life through living and supply if he had a family. He didn't say, well, I did my part. At least the old boy is doing a lot better than when we met, you know, before we met. No. And when he had found him. You know, if I know where he's at, I don't have to find him. Right, Brother Andrew? I mean, if I know where your pastor is, then I do not have to search him out. So Jesus went and found him. Little tidbits like that show you that Jesus put away a lot of power that he had in heaven and did not practice it down here. And when he had found him, well, that means he searched for him. Say, well, he was God. Yeah, he was God, no doubt about it. But I see Jesus finding this man for one reason. And when he had found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Well, hallelujah. My Lord was a soul winner. I just read it. Are you awake? Are you okay? The God that I serve taught by action. I mean, I read Acts 1:1 and said, the former treatise have I made of Theophilus, of both Jesus began to do and teach. He did it. He taught it. Amen, Brother Cooper. That's good. Okay. I'm just kidding. I learned that from Brother Hart a long time ago. Anyway. But say, well, what's this big deal? Well, the big deal is he took care of a physical issue for someone that, by the way, he didn't know him. It's not like they were buddy-buddy. It's not like they had a 20-year relationship, okay? He took care of a blind man, and then he went and sought him out and said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? See, what are you driving at? Well, it's most complicated, yet it is simplistic. That we ought to care enough about people to take care of some physical problems in hopes to get to share the gospel with them. And by the way, your pastor knows, I went out this afternoon and we knocked some doors and I did a whole lot more praying because there were so many of you coming out. It was such a good thing. I enjoyed it. It was great to see the church actually come out and go out and knock doors. I am not against knocking doors. And if anybody ever cuts up a tape and makes it look like I am, I hope God takes care of it for me. But I'm also not against patterning my soul winning after that of Jesus, where I look for someone that needs something and I take care of it. And I say, oh, by the way, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he died on the cross, was buried, and rose from the dead? Do you believe the gospel? Can I share it with you? I'm found from past experience, preacher, that if I take time to help somebody and then I pull the gospel track, they're more obligated to take it. I was walking down the road one day and I was going door to door, and there was an older gentleman. He popped the trunk on his car. And he had one of them big old concrete lion statues. I'm glad it was concrete, because if it had been a real lion, I'd probably be something's lunch, you know. And he's over there, and he's at least in his early 80s, which I don't think's old, because when I get there, I'm not going to admit it. And he's trying to heave this concrete lion out of his car. And I said, excuse me, sir, and he didn't hear me. I said, pardon me, sir. And I got just close enough and loud enough, he looked around, and I waved. He said, what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm out inviting folks to church, but I noticed you got yourself a hefty little lion there in your back of your car. He said, boy, that ain't the truth. I said, I'd be glad to lift that out of there for you. He said, you would? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, I'll be. So I pulled that lion out of his car. I said, where would you like me to set it? Thing was heavy. He said, oh, right here's good. Is this where you want it? Yeah, I put it there. And it must have been 90 degrees. And he said, well, you didn't have to do that. And I said, well, sir, I said, if I was you, I'd hope somebody to help me. He said, that's a fact. Then I give him a gospel tract. And you know what? He didn't say, well, you know, I'm not interested. I don't want that. Why? Because he would thought it very impolite. And it would have been. But now that I have helped him, he feels like he's obligated to take what I have to offer. Say, well, you know, that just don't work. Well, it worked for Jesus. See, my consensus is that I don't care enough about people to go that distance to help them with the hope of getting to help them spiritually. I would much rather just skip that. It costs me money. It costs me time. Sometimes it gets me cussed out. Sometimes I might actually get hurt or almost, like I did almost in a McDonald's trying to witness to a gangbanger that needs the Lord real bad. And I'm not kidding you. He tried to get a 9mm from his buddy in the middle of McDonald's and blow me away. But they need it too. Amen. I mean, what's wrong with the bus stop being next to McDonald's and inviting somebody to eat a cheeseburger with you? I've done it, and I'll keep doing it. And the facts of the matter are, it's more effective because it's closer to what God teaches. See, you're against door knocking. I'm not. Nope. But does that have to be the only way we do it? This is obviously not a new modern way to go soul winning. Okay, we're not talking about neon lights and drums and all that junk that the devil needs to keep out of here. Amen. We're just looking at how Jesus did it. Amen. I don't know where we somehow, preacher, and believe you me, I would have much rather preached something else, especially after we just went door to door, but I'm not against that, and I believe that it works. Amen. But I believe this works too. And somewhere along the line, I don't know why, but it's so much easier for me to give a pamphlet to somebody instead of try to build a friendship. I would much rather just leave you the pamphlet, you know, and go about my merry way. But I read this a few weeks ago, preacher, and Jesus went and found him. And the Holy Spirit said, yeah, you're a soul winner, but when's the last time you cared to try to find someone you'd already been in contact with before? Well, preacher, I talked to him. He's not interested. Yeah, but how long ago was it? 6 months, 8 months? I don't know. And how do we know God didn't put something in his life to get his attention to where now if you went by, he might have said, you know, I was hoping that you'd drop in. It's not like he said, well, I was praying that you would come by. But God knows. How many of you, hey, you know what? Somebody said, man, I've just been hoping that you would drop by. I didn't have your phone number, but I really needed this. You know, when the world makes fun of you, they're doing okay in their eyes. But when they have a son that passes away by an accident of a vehicle, when they have someone that's turned to alcohol, when they have something going on they have no control over, guess what they're looking for? A real Christian. It is so odd. I mean, they even say, would you pray for me? Now, I'm not religious, but I sure appreciate if you'd pray for me. If you're not religious, what would my praying have to do? If prayer doesn't work, why should I do it for you? Well, if you're living like Jesus has you live, they know it's real. They know there's something to it. And don't miss out on the opportunity to help someone physically, to help someone spiritually. You know what I found out, preacher? It takes a whole lot longer to do it that way. I'm not bashing anybody. I'm just telling you from my personal experience, like I said, I'd rather keep my $5, give you a gospel tract instead of have to feed you. I'm from Kansas City. I don't know if you really broke down or not, or if you just turned your flashers on because you want my billfold. I'm just being honest. It's a scary thing to think about pulling over behind a vehicle that's got their flashers on.
When's the last time you seen an older guy mowing his yard and you said, well, hey, can I help you finish that? I notice you're strapping it real nice, but it's really hot out here, and I'd be glad to knock the rest of that out for you. Say, preacher, you're crazy. Maybe so, but what an opportunity you missed. Hmm? Doesn't it just strike you odd how much Bible we want to learn and how much Bible-based our church wants to be, but when we find things like this, it's like, I don't know about that. I'm not sure that young preacher's really studied this out. Well, there's not too much to study here. There's really not. Well, I don't know. I got to chew on it. Well, you just go ahead and chew and do, amen? You chew on it while you do it. What disciple was it that Jesus witnessed to him? And when he got saved, he went and found a Philip under the fig tree, was it? Oh, yeah, you. Oh, yeah, you were sitting on the fig tree. Why did he go get somebody else? Go out and get him. Well, if you wasn't at the men's retreat, men's advance, you retreated. But anyway, you ought to set your calendar for that. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. You do not have to carry a gospel tract to share the gospel with somebody. Do not let the gospel tract become an excuse that you don't witness because you didn't have one. Well, I'd have left one for the clerk at the restaurant, but we didn't have one. Is that really good enough to know that you could have been the one that shared the gospel with him or her, and because you didn't have a piece of paper, you're going to let that opportunity slip away? Does that really sound really good to you? It doesn't sound good when I say it out loud. It's easier to do when I don't talk about it out loud. You know? Or do you think maybe God put you there for such a time so that you could witness to that person? Take gospel tracts, put them in your car, use them. They are a tool for soul winning, but they are not soul winning. Okay? The tool of going door to door, that is a way of soul winning. It is a tool for soul winning, but it's not soul winning all by itself. It's just not. Well, we just can't seem to get anybody to come to church. Well, maybe we're going to have to do something else. I heard of a church once that had an elderly outreach preacher. It was pretty cool. They had some guys that went and mowed yards for some people that couldn't mow yards. That's good stuff. I'll ask you one question and I'll quit. I don't even know what time it is. Well, it's 6 after, so don't worry. Folks, I love you, and I couldn't tell you how exciting it is to have a church full of young people. My church don't have enough young people to fill up a van. We're going through some stuff. You don't have any idea how exciting it was to have a whole bunch of, what'd you have, 40 of them out there? You'd had took my whole church out there where we get to go to church and that are sending church. I'm excited. I'm thrilled. This is not a, you did it wrong, okay? You didn't do it wrong. I just want you to do it more. Well, I can't go soul winning because I'm going to work. Well, then go soul winning at work. I was so excited about that story. I don't know what kind of big mechanical equipment you run. But when you got to go, do you know if you died when the crane falls, you going to heaven? That's pretty good stuff right there. Well, I might lose my job. Well, he might lose his soul in the devil's hell. What's more important? God can give you another job. Now, I'm not saying that your rules and regulations, you know, don't run away out of here going, well, he said some weird stuff. I'm just saying you don't have to come to church, get some gospel tracts, get in a church van, and go knock doors one time a week and call that soul winning. It's great. I'm glad you do it. Preacher, wouldn't you just flip your lid if you couldn't keep any tracts in your folder? Oh, man, we got to start having a budget that just says soul outreach. I mean, these people just keep giving away all these gospel tracts. We can't keep John and Romans on the file. And, man, we got visitors coming in, wonder what in the world's going on. And say, preacher, you're crazy. All I know is that when Jesus saw them mending their nets, he said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And if you read his book, the Bible, God was a good author too, by the way. Amen. If you read that, how do you get away with Matthew 28? And don't dare tell me, well, the church fulfilled it in their time and they turned the world upside down and you're the one upside down. I don't know, but if God didn't want me to be a soul winner preacher, he'd have raptured me out of here the minute I found the gospel. But there'd be a problem because the man that showed me how to get saved was saved. Yep. I mean, if it really worked like that, there'd be a lot less saved people. Mm-hmm. Amen. Look, you thought it was important when someone showed it to you. How many of you got saved for somebody knocking on your door? Not too many of you. Look around. How many of you got saved because somebody else cared about you and then shared you the gospel? Man, there's hands everywhere. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Say, well, I'm timid, I'm shy. Then use a gospel tract and pray that God will take away that shyness so that you can share what wonderful things God's done for you in other ways. Well, say, preacher, I can't push a yard. I can't push my own yard. I have to ride my yard. I got a left hip that won't let me push my half acre anymore. Say, preacher, just do it. If all you can do is gospel tracts, if all you can do is knock doors, that is not like number 55 on a list. We're not making a list. Amen. We're not making a list. Remember I told you that I just want to pattern my ministry after what Jesus did? Well, Jesus built the church and he gave himself for it. Amen. And I believe with all my heart, knocking doors is great. But just don't forget. Don't forget to take Jesus with you wherever it is you're at when you're not knocking doors. See, this is the biggest fear of my life, preacher, that we've got 25 million churches in America. I don't know how many we got. Just throwing out a number. You know, statistics are all made up on the fly. You know, I don't know, somewhere around 65% believe that, okay? yeah, I made that up. But the truth is, we got all these churches, and we've taught our people that Saturday is soul winning day. That's okay. But what we did not know is they don't go any other day. Did you hear me? Well, I do that on Saturday. I've heard it. I said to a preacher once, we ought to teach our people to go soul winning Monday through Friday, and if you have to take a day off, be Saturday then. But don't just give God one day to be a soul winner and the rest of the days are yours, because that's not right. Just think how exciting. I mean, you want to wear out your preacher, just go soul winning all the time. Now he don't like me anymore. That's an assumption that he liked me to begin with. Why do you think Jesus said, go ye into all the world and teach all nations? Was that to the church or wasn't it? It was to the church. By the way, we better use up all the freedoms that we have, or we shall lose them. It's good to go door to door, but I don't want to lose the freedom of going into a Walmart, helping somebody find the mayonnaise on aisle 6. I went to a Lowe's, preacher, and I didn't really go there to buy anything. I just like to go soul winning at Lowe's. And there's a lady comes in and she's looking around. You know how big Lowe's is, you know. You got 2011 aisles, I don't know, lots of aisles, lots of stuff everywhere. And she's just looking around like a kid in a candy store or something. I knew she was looking for something. I said, hey, ma'am, how are you today? And she said, I'm good. I'm surprised she said anything. This is Kansas City. She said, I said, what are you looking for today? She said, well, you don't work here. And I said, no, I don't. I said, but whatever you're looking for, I can find it. She said, you think so? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I'm in here almost every 3 days. She said, really? I said, yes, ma'am. What are you looking for? She said, well, you know them things. I'll sound like my mama. Them things. You put them on the wall so when you fling the door open, don't put a hole in the sheetrock. I said, yeah, do they call that a doorstop? She said, well, something like that. I said, hold on. I pulled my phone, and I pulled up my Lowe's app. Yeah. And I typed in that doorstop. And lo and behold, there they were. Yeah, $6 ones, $8 ones, $4 ones. And it gave me the aisle. You scroll down, look, oh, aisle 21A or whatever it was. I said, I think I know where they're at. Praying the whole time the app was accurate, amen. And I take her over there, and I said, well, there's some $6 ones, but they want you to grab those. Those are the end cap, the expensive ones. If we go on down here, there's a few more that are a little cheaper, but you get what you pay for, so I'm not going to tell you what to buy because I don't want you mad at me, you know. Well, she chuckled, and she got what she wanted, and I said, oh, by the way, I said, I got a little pamphlet when you get done with your little project, and you get a glass of iced tea and give it a read for me. She said, well, yeah, sure. Now, I've ran into people at Lowe's where I said, can I give you this? They said, no. But I didn't do anything for the guy. Maybe had I helped him load some 2x4s, slide some sheetrock into the back of a pickup. It doesn't always work. There's no 100% guarantee. But I just seen where Jesus did it this way. And I've been trying it. And it was convicting to me because I was one of those that just pull a gospel tract. I didn't really want to say anything. Oh, you're one of those. Oh, one of what? That's a vague, unfinished English statement. One of what? See my way out? Well, you know, one of those. Well, no. What's that about my shoes? No, I'm not a shoe. You know, I mean, you can get out of it. But when you, on purpose, identify with Jesus Christ, there's no way out of that. So I just encourage you, keep doing what you're doing. And at the same time, let's do more. Amen. Amen. Lord, we thank you. Lord, it's hard to preach this sermon. Because, Lord, I don't want people to think that I believe they're doing it wrong or it's a way that doesn't work anymore. And Lord, I hope and pray that they understand. I don't believe that. But at the same time, Lord, may it be encouraging to them that you don't always have to have that gospel track. Lord, give us a burning desire to share you with the world no matter where we're at. Lord, bless this time. Lord, I thank you for allowing our paths to cross with the Centralia Baptist Church. And Lord, I hope in the future we get to come back and see many souls that have accepted you and have become part of the church and that it's growing and abounding in the work of the Lord. This I pray and ask in your name. Amen. Preacher. Amen.